Hi, I'm Jerry J, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, grateful to know that it's a disease, not a moral issue. When I first started coming to OA, people would always say, I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. And I'd look at them like, are they insane? But what I discovered is that they were grateful they had a solution to their disease of compulsive overeating. My history is that, you know, God used the Navy, which was my higher power at the time, first to get me sober in June of 1981. 5.5 years later, the Navy once again sent me to treatment for chronic obesity. To this day, I'm truly grateful for that because I believe it saved my life. The first time in the Navy I had to lose 40 pounds, I just stopped eating, okay? And, you know, the weight came off and then I weighed in and, you know, went back to eating normally, which for me was, if I was awake, that's a reason enough to eat. Well, 2 years later, I had to lose 55 pounds. And the way I did that was I fasted for a couple of weeks, ate for a couple of days, fasted for a couple of weeks. I had like 1.5 pounds to lose. So I asked other guys in the Navy what they did. And one guy said, I'll just take a bottle of milk and magnesia. That ought to be good for 1.5 pounds. So I did. But God has a sense of humor. It's only good for about 3/4 of a pound. So I asked another guy what he did, and he said, oh, just go out and run as far as you can. So I did. I went out and I ran about 15 miles, crawled over to a telephone booth, called my wife, had her come and pick me up. And the next day I was poof, that magical weight. And even before the ink was dry on that piece of paper that I'd made the weight, a friend of mine had given me a 5-pound box of candy, which I proceeded to reward myself with because there was no connection between what I put in my mouth would show up on my body. It just didn't exist. And then a couple years passed and I had to lose 60 pounds and I couldn't do it this time. And that's when the Navy sent me to treatment for chronic obesity and probably saved my life. What I know is that I really was pretty depressed because I couldn't make the weight. And I just thought it was never endless. And I just was felt so hopeless. And, you know, I got into that cycle of, well, at least if I die, my family would get my life insurance. But I need to make it look like an accident, okay? So then they'll get it, right? And I'm just grateful that I wasn't smart enough to do that. And then God sent me to treatment. And in treatment was probably the first time in my life that I ever ate 3 meals a day. That just was phenomenal to me. It's also important for me to say that I ate with reckless abandon all of my life, but God was good to me and the weight never stayed on until I was in my late 20s. So I went to treatment at age 38. And the thing about treatment, man, you know, you get to meet people you never thought would be there, like officers in the Marine Corps and other guys in the Army and Navy and Coast Guard, we're all there because we have a problem with eating compulsively. And it really helped me to see that it was a disease. It didn't care who you were. So, and they would bus us out to meetings in the community. And, you know, I just so grateful for that. And, you know, for me, I got a sponsor and we worked through the steps and, I don't know about anybody else, but I sat on my four-step for a couple of years. And this guy asked me to sponsor him. And I said, oh, let me check with my sponsor first. Because I was sure my sponsor would say, no, you can't do it till you finish the steps, right? Anyway, my sponsor said, oh, I think that's an excellent idea. Maybe it'll get you to get your four-step done. So I did that and, you know, gave it away to my sponsor in Bilbo Park on a Saturday afternoon in July. And when it was over, he stood up, I stood up, he gave me a big hug. My first thought, not the most macho thing I could be doing today, but my second thought was, I told him all my garbage and he loved me anyway. Just so very grateful for that. And, you know, my sponsor also, you know, like my first sponsor, after about 2 years, he lost his abstinence. So he called me up and he said, I can't sponsor you anymore, Jerry. And I thought, poor me, right? Instead of, you know. And so a group of guys that I hung out with, I asked this one guy to sponsor me and he said, oh no, you don't want me. And I thought, and then he said, you want my sponsor? So I saw his sponsor and I said, would you sponsor me? And he said, are you willing to go to any lengths? And my first thought in my head was no, but what came out of my mouth was yes. And so he said, okay, you have reading and writing assignments. You need to call your food in every day. You need to go at least 3 meetings a week and you need to make 3 outreach phone calls. And so I'm thinking to myself, I got to find a way to get out of this. So I said to him, you know, I got to get up pretty early in the morning, go to work. And he said, that's fine. Call me at 5:30 a.m. And as we were working through the steps, you know, we got to step 6 and, after I gave him my 4-step, he said to me, now you can start on 6 and 7. And I said, oh, it's the weekend. You mean I don't get the weekend off? And he said, does your disease take the weekend off? So I knew I was going to be working on 6 and 7. And one of the assignments on 6, I didn't feel like doing. And so I called him up and I said, I didn't do my assignment. He said, why? I said, because I'm not willing. And he said, screw the willingness. Get the assignment done and call me back. So, you know, God just provided for me, okay? And, you know, like I said, when I came into OA, I was 256 pounds. I came in November 86 for this first 8 years or so. It was like a honeymoon. I was involved in service. The Navy sent me from San Diego to Norfolk, Virginia. So I had to pout because I'm not in familiarity. And, you know, I stopped going to meetings. And so I was on and off with my abstinence for a couple of years. And then when I came back to San Diego, I was still kind of in and out. But on June 16th, 2001, I found a sponsor and we started working the steps again. And what a blessing to be reminded once again that it was a disease, not a moral issue. It wasn't about being good or bad. It was about, I was powerless over that driving need to eat. And the other thing is that I'm so grateful that, you know, before OA, before 12-step programs, I used to think I was just a little piece of dog doo-doo and everybody had the right to kick me around. And, you know, like I had a friend once who said, you know, Jerry, I think you would let someone urinate on you if you allowed them, if they allowed you to be around them, okay? And, you know, and that was just a reality. That's the way I was. And then when I started working the steps, and my sponsor gave me these assignments, writing myself love notes. In the beginning, that's the other thing. In treatment, they had us look in the mirror and say, I love you, right? And I couldn't do it. It took me more than 6 weeks to be able to look in the mirror and say, I love you. But these love notes really helped me in that they started out real simple. Dear Jerry, went to a meeting, love Jerry. The other thing that really helped were those three phone calls. I'd call somebody up and I'd say, hi, this is Jerry. I'm from OA. My sponsor's making me make this call. But, you know, and like they would say, okay, let's talk. Or they'd say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have time to talk right now. And, you know, at that time, my sponsor said, you have to talk to a live person. You can't leave a message. And I thought, holy crap. But it helped me to get out of myself. And then, you know, the love notes advanced from Dear Jerry, went to a meeting, love Jerry, to Dear Jerry, today I know that you're the loving child of God that God created, and that you will help other people learn to be, they are the loving child of God that God created. I thank God for all my blessings, and I thank God for the ability to love myself so that I can love others and love Jerry. So, you know, that the thing about assignments and working the steps, that really works, okay? It helped me become a whole human being. And I'm truly, truly grateful for that. And the other thing I know for sure is service really helped, okay? My sponsor said to me, I used to go to a men's breakfast meeting for OA. And my sponsor said to me, hey, does your men's meeting have an intergroup rep? And I said, no. And he said, they do now. And then at intergroup, you know, they started talking about region two and all that. And I said, oh, what's region two? And he said, oh, it just means that you get to go to intergroup and you get to be on the service body. So you have two meetings a month. Well, he neglected to tell me at that time they had three live assemblies. But it was good for me to go to the assembly because, you know, at the time I was pretty close to 40, if I wasn't already 40. And I met a young guy there, and he was like 26 years old. And he had been abstaining for 8 years. And that showed me that it could be continuous. Such a blessing. And then, you know, at that time, San Diego had 130 meetings. So we were allowed 13 delegates at World Service. And so my sponsor, who was the chair of the intergroup, said, you know, I think it'd be good for you, Jerry. You ought to try it. So we went together, and it truly was a blessing because I went to the World Service when Roseanne addressed the fellowship, and she said, my vision of OA was only for compulsive overeaters. And so then the body spent about 6 hours discussing on how we were going to implement Tradition 3. But the following year, she came back and she said, I just need you to know that my vision of OA was very limited. God's vision of OA was unlimited. Therefore, it's for everybody who has an eating disorder. And man, that just blew my mind. And this little lady who was about 4'11", all of a sudden, she was 18 feet tall. But, you know, the key is that's what the programs taught me, that over time, you know, and if I make a mistake, I can correct it, okay? And as my sponsor used to say to me all the time, You need to remember that your past is history. It's carved in granite. It will not change. Do not drag it into today to ruin today. Let it be history. So very grateful for that. And, you know, the other thing always done for me, how much time do I have?
I think since it's a small meeting, is that you can go till you're done.
Okay, I was just going to say that it helped me be a better father too, okay? When my daughter was 13, she come running downstairs and she said, "Dad, I'm bleeding." And I thought, I don't know how to handle this. So I called my older sister, Ruthie, and I said, "I need you to talk to my daughter. Here, talk to your Aunt Ruthie." Okay. And the amazing thing about OA is it helped me to see that if I don't know something, I need to reach out and get the help and ask questions instead of trying to BS my way through it. And, you know, I'm truly grateful because, you know, it helped me be a better parent. And so, like, I told my daughter, "You can do anything a man can do." And so when she was 16, she said to me, "You know, Dad, I can start dating now because you let my brother date when he was 16. And I thought, "Oh, pray for me, Lord, because it's going to be a tough one." But, you know, the reality is that I'm so grateful, and it helped me be a better husband and a better sibling and a better friend and a better member of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll close with something out of the, I hope I don't offend anybody when I say, when I came in OA, we used the AA literature. And we had the Four Today, and we had the Brown Book. We used to call it that other word by the sea, though. And it was Appendix A then, but now it's Appendix B. And this really helped me to work this program. The remarkable thing about OA success is that the program gets people to function far better than they ever have in their lives. With any other disease, you're lucky to get back to where you were. If you have a heart attack, for example, you're fortunate to get your heart to function as well as it did before the attack. With the compulsive overeater, not only do you get back to a normal weight, but more importantly, your life has changed. And in a sense, you're ahead of where you were before you became a compulsive overeater. Now you have the tools of feeling, touching, caring, loving, sharing, being honest with your family, and looking at life in an understanding way. And not fighting it, but going along with it. Once you treat the illness, you have the potential to be a more together person than you were. Therefore, it's exciting for physicians and others who've been ignoring the problem or expressing deep pessimism about it to think of compulsive overeating as a disease and to realize it can be treated so successfully. One of the prejudices about compulsive overeating is society's view of a compulsive overeater or someone who's obese. Yet the overeater can be 1 pound overweight or 1 pound underweight, as in anorexia nova, and can still be a compulsive overeater. The illness has nothing to do with weight. That's why it's silly to go on diets or to weigh all the time. The problem is with control of food. It's one preoccupied with controlling food intake to the point that it's interfering with one's life. Just as being an alcoholic is not related to the amount one drinks, being a compulsive overeater is not related to the amount one weighs. And that just really helped me. And the other thing is that today I know I'm a loving child of God. And just in case no one's told you, God, OA, and Jerry love you. And thank you for letting me share.